You know, really, what we're testifying to is the things that Jesus did for us back at Calvary. It's not that he's doing them now, but it's that he did them at Calvary, and he finished the work at Calvary, and we are just now beginning to believe and beginning to understand. You know, no matter what God has done for us, we can only be partakers of the benefit of those things when we come to the understanding of those things and when we begin to acknowledge those things. So really, these things God did for us before the world ever was in Christ Jesus, they were instigated in the mind of God or conceived in the mind of God before the world ever was. They were manifested and made available to us through the manifestation at Calvary, and they are given to us in the end time according to our comprehension and understanding. That is, predestinated from the beginning and manifested at Calvary and comprehended in the end time, the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. Therefore, if God instigated these things before the world ever was in his mind, and if he did manifest them at Calvary and make them available to us, then it seems reasonable that we should apply ourselves here in the latter times that we may be able to comprehend, as he has stated, the heights, the depths, the width, and the length, that we might be partakers of these wonderful things. Now, it's my pleasure and privilege to be here night after night and have a chance to rejoice with you and fellowship with you. And tonight, being the last night of the tent meeting, they take the tent down after tonight. We've got numbers of other places that we're supposed to go to preach the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been here a few days, and for these few days, we're very grateful to have had a chance to share with you that have been concerned enough to come out this wonderful glad tidings of great joy. And we appreciate everyone that's come out from night to night. Appreciate those that are out here to hear us tonight. And I know a lot of people perhaps will be in their own church tonight, being Sunday, and I trust that they will listen there at their own church and that God will feed them and that they will find something great and glorious that will cause them to be a greater Christian and have a greater vision for Jesus Christ. Whereas I have to be honest in my opinion, I feel that when revivals come into the area, especially tent meetings, that people should work together in a better way and in a more wonderful way by coming together to build a real vision for the people at that time. But we're living in a day of denominationalism to where if you do not belong to the denomination that is in your neighborhood, then they will not fellowship you. And as a rule, you have to have a prearranged thing. You cannot be led of the Holy Spirit into any place to have a meeting and expect them to coordinate with you. You have to have a prearranged intellectual arrangement of everything, letting them know who is going to participate in the meetings and how many ministers are going to take part and how that you will divide the offering so that every church can get their part of the offering when it comes in. Otherwise, they will not do it. And it's been my way to preach the gospel and not to go after the gimmicks of the world and to follow after such systems. So we've always just went and set our tent when God said, set it, take it where God tells us to take it, and do what God tells us to do and trust God for the rest. Therefore, we do not have any financial support from anybody when we come into the area. We do not have a promise of a crowd or people when we come into the area. We just go in by faith and do what God tells us, and that's it. Most evangelists won't come in unless they have a number of churches backing them up to assure them that they're going to have a crowd of people before they get there to avoid what they feel is an embarrassing situation. But we've always went by faith, and God has always met our needs, and God has always supplied people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a consequence of this way of doing things, I find that we reach real, honest-hearted people and people that love God, and that we stir a fire in the area and stir up people's minds to the intent that if we go back into that same area years later, we find that we still have converts and people that love God and people that are really founded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then I approve of programs and things that can further the gospel. And if you can work according to that, that's real good. And if people would work a little better toward the Spirit, then I probably could work better toward their programs. But inasmuch as we have to be led of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit has to have the preeminence, and that makes it a little difficult to work with the programs of intellectuals or ecclesiasticals that demand that you do a thing a certain way. I believe in organization. I believe that we ought to be organized in God. I studied the Word of God, and I understand of the Holy Scriptures that God is an organizer and that God is a coordinator. And God is a great God of system. God has the moon and the stars systemized. And scientists say there's very little variation over a period of an entire year of the coming up and going down of the sun or the moon or the stars holding their place. I believe that people ought to be very systematic in going to church and giving to God and praying and fasting. I believe that they ought to coordinate and link together as a unit and as a body in Christ Jesus. And I don't believe that people should just be scattered every which way and one going this way and that way, and God's people not having any strength so far as coordination and unity. But at the same time, I believe that Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church. And I do not believe that you can appoint man-made overseers in the church. The Bible said, taking the oversight over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And I believe that the Holy Ghost is the one to appoint the overseers, and that we ought to pray and seek God, and those that are advancing into things of God and the knowledge of God, whether we like them or whether we don't like them, we should let them have their place in the body. You know, we're living in a little clique today, and if you fit into the clique, then you can go places. If you don't, you're in trouble, unless you have got God. And in the religious world, it's no different. But I believe that the Holy Ghost should be the overseer. And whether I like you or whether I don't like you, that's not important. If the Holy Ghost likes you, then I need to learn to like you. If the Holy Ghost approves of what you're preaching and what you're saying, it doesn't matter whether it fits my denomination or my thinking or whatever, if I should have such a thing. The thing that's important is that you're pleasing God. If you're preaching the Word of God and if you love Jesus, then you're my brother. You're my sister, and we ought to link together like this in a unit, and we ought to work for the Almighty God and the establishing of His kingdom and the setting forth of His government in this world. And I believe that any time that I or anybody else takes any other outlook to go our own way, to do our own thing, to establish our own earthly enterprise in the earth, then I believe that we have greatly displeased God, and that God will frown upon it in time to come, and God will reject it. I preached the other night, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Before they were ever born into the world, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I want you to think on that. Before they were ever born into the world, the writer said, before the children could have ever done good or done evil, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now we know there's no unrighteousness with God, and we know that God doesn't justify the wicked and condemn the righteous. But we also know that all of God's works are known unto Him from the beginning. Or that is God looking down through the telescope of time before you and I were ever born into the world, or before Jacob or Esau was ever born into the world. God looking down through the telescope of time saw that Esau would be contrary to everything that he wanted to do. And he saw that even though Jacob might do wrong, yet Jacob would make a covenant with God and repent of his sins, and that Jacob in the end would serve God and love God. And God foreseeing the wicked ways of Esau, he said, I hate him before he ever come into the world. And God foreseeing that Jacob would conform to his way of life, and that Jacob would be a great God-fearing person, God said, Jacob have I loved. So then, let's remember tonight that God foresaw this meeting that we're having here. God foresaw every denomination, every religious activity. God foresaw those that would go their own way and do their own thing in life. And God foreordained that they should do it. The Bible speaks of ungodly men that God before of old ordained unto condemnation. These ungodly men that turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And that these men are preordained of God before they are ever born into the world to do the wicked things that they do. The Bible teaches concerning Judas before he was ever born into the world. It said, let another his bishopric take, even before he was born into the world. Jesus, when he chose the 12 to start his work, he said, I've chose 12 of you and one of you is a devil. He knew that when he chose him and put him among the 12 apostles that he was a devil. But God suffered that to be that way, because who would have betrayed the Lord and who would have had him crucified, so that God's plan could have come to its ultimate in the behalf of us, in the sense of spilling the blood of Jesus for those that were to be saved. Had there been no Judas, then what could we have said, or what could have been done? Before of old, it was ordained that it be that way. The Bible said God created the good and God created the evil. And God has his way in both, and God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Can evil come to a city, and I've not seen it, saith the Lord? Therefore, God does what he will whenever he will. And it was learned by Nebuchadnezzar in the days of Daniel that God ruleth in the affairs of mankind. Though Nebuchadnezzar would not acknowledge God, yet when God looked down upon him and God despised him momentarily, and when God drove him out among the beasts, then when he returned to his great palace, he said, God ruleth in the affairs of mankind, and he gave glory unto God. You know, the president of the United States, the kings and queens of the different countries, they have to learn the hard way that God ruleth in the affairs of mankind. And when God finally makes them to know that he works everything after the counsel of his own will, a lot of times it is too late for them in the sense of their sufferings and their heartaches, when they could have gotten by a lot easier had they considered that God ruleth in the affairs of mankind. So then tonight we are here under this tent, and you are here under this tent not because I chose to be here, not because you chose to be here, but because God before the foundation of the world ordained that this tent be here, and that I be here, and that you be here. Now I know that we are a sovereignty so far as our power of decision, but God by foreknowledge saw our sovereignty. He foresaw the decisions that we would make. He placed our boundaries. He set our boundaries, and we do exactly what he ordained that we would do. And so then the Bible says concerning the waves of the sea, God placed the boundaries of the sea and said, thence shall thy proud waves be stayed. So then whatever is to be done, God knows what it is. God has ordained all things, whether you're going to live a day, whether you're going to live a year, whether you're going to live 10 years, God has already ordained it. But it is still a sovereignty in your life to the extent the Bible tells us that we shorten our days by our disobedience. God has given us an intelligence, and we can forfeit our right to our intelligence by displaying ignorance and willful ignorance and walk out in the front of an automobile and be crushed to death. But if we will do what God tells us to do, then we can prolong our life. The Bible says that you shorten your days by your disobedience. When you disobey God, you shorten your days. When you do the thing that's contrary to God, you shorten your days. And God knows what you're going to do. He knows your sovereignty. He knows your decisions. But at the same time, He tells us that He also has ordained paths that we should walk in. So then, if we're going to love Jesus, if we're going to be happy, if we're going to have prosperity, if we're going to have health, then let us conform to the Word of God and the things of God, and let us program our minds to the wonderful mind of Jesus Christ, that we might draw these wonderful benefits, and that we might not be in willful rebellion, that we shorten our days by our disobedience. I want to read a little scripture to you tonight. I want to say that we're thankful to be here, and we appreciate every one of you, and we want to share the gospel with you tonight. In the book of Colossians, if you've got your Bible, there is some wonderful reading. Reading at the 8th verse of the 1st chapter of the book of Colossians, if you've got your Bibles. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance and of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was contrary, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding his head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Therefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a shew of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, the Lord says in the book of Acts, as he speaks to this great minister Paul, he said, Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. What a beautiful thought when you talk about being sanctified by the faith which is within him. I want you to stand with me just a minute while I get comfortable here, and we want to have a word of prayer. Let's just lift our hands together, folks, can we? Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, tonight we are grateful for your Son, Jesus. And dear, precious Heavenly Father, We are grateful for this wonderful faith by which we are sanctified in our Lord and Savior. And I pray tonight that every ear would be anointed to hear, Father. May every heart be anointed to listen, knowing that the end of the world is here, and knowing that this conflict of Israel, O Heavenly Father, is pointing to the end of the world, knowing that in the book of St. Luke, you said when we see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, that we should know that the desolation had come and that the end of the world was here. And dear God, as we see the nations accusing Israel, and Father, we see them rise up against Israel, then we know that the end of the world is here without a shadow of doubt. And you said this be the days of vengeance when all things that are written shall be fulfilled. So then tonight, let us take even more heed, Father. Lord, as you have spoken in that Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air, may we take the earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest we let them slip. And may we take heed how that we hear them, lest Lucifer twist those things up before they come to our listening ear, and we misjudge, or we misinterpret, or we misunderstand. So then, Father, tonight, we ask you to bless, we ask you to forgive, we ask you to add your kindness to this service, giving us hearts to listen and minds to understand. He that hath an ear, that he might hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. I ask it in Jesus' name, your Son. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. I want to say again that here we are looking at a most beautiful thought. The scripture to me is so lovely and so beautiful that I thrill every time that I read it or every time that I think about it. I can just be riding down the road sometimes and the scriptures will thrill me in such a way that tears will just stream down my cheeks because I feel the great, wonderful inspiration of the Almighty God and how great and how wonderful and thrilling it is to know that this great word of life. You know, when I say this, I want you to get a hold of it, folks. This great word of life, not a printed page, but this great, wonderful word of life. To take hold of this great, wonderful word of life. To feel this word and to understand the inspiration of it. That quickens our mortal genes. That brings us life in great and mighty abundance. In this wonderful thing that we call the Holy Scriptures. This is why that I magnify the Bible the way that I do. This is why that I lift up the Bible the way that I do. Because it is God's wonderful Word. You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And that same wonderful Word, that great spiritual Word, appeared to Abraham before it was ever put in its scribe forms or in its printed page. It was called the Scripture, and the Scripture appeared unto Abraham and witnessed unto Abraham. And even Enoch in his day heard from God and believed God, and his faith caused him to escape death. And the Bible said concerning Abraham that his faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. So then, this is the wonderful treasure. This Word of God is such a great, wonderful treasure because this Word of God gives us faith. This Word of God brings us faith. This great Word of God, it brings us faith. You say, well, what good is faith, Brother Pike? Faith is a great and a mighty thing. Faith is a powerful thing. Faith in God's Word can bring us the mercy of God and the grace of God in the time of trouble and in the time of judgment, in the time of problems. This Word can inspire our believing to where we can be healed when doctors cannot offer us a medical remedy. This great Word of inspiration has delivered people from trouble when there was no one around to deliver them. I have used faith in this Word for numbers of years. And in many places and in many cases, God has delivered me. He has taken me out of the hand of the enemy. We look at this Word and we're made to wonder, Lord, what do you mean turn the people from darkness unto light? What are you talking about? Paul could have said, Lord, what do you mean telling me that I'm to turn people from darkness unto light? What is meant by the statement? But Paul, being spiritual, he understood that God was trying to tell him that there is an understanding that takes people into captivity. There is a mind that takes people into captivity. There is an intellectual learning that takes people into captivity. There is human reasoning that takes people into captivity. And God was trying to tell Paul, Paul, turn my people from this darkness of this mind of Lucifer and turn my people over to the light of God, to the mind of Christ. And so it was that Paul began to preach the gospel. And Paul began to try to turn the people from darkness to light. I'm here tonight for the same purpose. It's the same Holy Ghost in me that was in Paul. It's that same wonderful Savior that's in me that was in Peter, James, and John. My God tonight is the same God that Jacob had. For I claim the God of Jacob and the God of Isaac and the God of Abraham. And I claim the God of Peter and Paul and James tonight. It's the same Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever, the same to every generation. Did you know that the Word of God is the same to every generation? That the Word of God is never altered at any time, but that it is always the same to every generation. It was the Word of promise of life and security back in the days of Abraham. Though many generations have passed away, that same Word without alteration today stands in its great victory and triumph, and it's the same to you today. It is the same promise of security, the same promise of healing and deliverance that it was in the days of Abraham. It has not lost its power. It has not been altered. It has not been changed. It is the same to 1,000 generations. If there is another generation after this generation, the Word of God will remain the same to them, to whomsoever. What I say to one, I say unto all of you. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. For I am the Word of God yesterday. I am the Word of God today. I am the Word of God tomorrow. If Abraham believed me and received justification and blessing, then today you can believe me and receive justification, and you can receive the blessings of God. I am God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, because I am not a changeable God. Men change. Men are always changing. Men are never satisfied. Men are never satisfied with anything. You give them a job, they work on that job a little while, and they get discontented. You give them a wife, they keep her a little while, they get discontented. You give them some kind of place to live, they'll live there for a little while, and then they get discontented. Men are always changing. They're never satisfied. Lucifer's constantly driving, pounding away, always harassing their minds, trying to trample down the minds of humanity. But brother, God never changes. Every day God is the same. He's the same to you. He's the same to me. He's the same to every generation. Therefore, we can rest with a steadfast hope that God will be our security. He swore by himself, because he could swear by no greater, saying, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And because he could swear by no greater, he swore by his own self that we can rest with a perfect security in him, that he will not alter nor change the glorious word that he has given us in his promise. When God, who sought to confirm his promise, looked for something that was great, that he could swear to mankind by, so that man would not be leery of his promise, he could not find anything greater than himself. Therefore, he said, I swear by myself unto you that I will bless you and I will never change it. And inasmuch as God cannot lie, we can rest with full hope and full security. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if men change their minds, how do you know but what God has promised us eternal life? And he'll bring us right up to the threshold of things, and then he'll change his mind. Or he might want to dwell with us for the next 100,000 years, and then he might change his mind and want to change the whole situation. But brother, inasmuch as God cannot lie, God swore by himself saying, I will do this one thing and never change it throughout eternity. Therefore, we can rest with that steadfast hope that everything is going to be all right. Everything will be all right. God said, Paul, turn my people from that mind of Lucifer. Change them over to the mind of Jesus Christ. Get them away from their own understanding. Let me tell you again tonight, folks. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. I want you to hear that tonight now. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't reason. Don't try to figure it out. You'll never be able to accomplish anything for God if you do that. When I go to do something for God, when I have a project, I don't reason in my mind about it, because usually my projects are far greater than I can afford. If I go to buy something and the thing is $50,000, I know that maybe I don't have 50 cents. So there's no need of me thinking it out or reasoning out, because if I do, I'm defeated to start with. The first thing I do, I pray and I find the will of God and the mind of God and the interest of God. If God is interested in it, then I'm interested in it. If God wants it, then I want it. So then I go to God and I claim it by faith. I don't try to figure out where the money's coming from or how I'm going to get it. I don't get up and pull the congregation and try to bleed them to death to get them to pay for it and say, God, move by faith. I trust God and I pray to God and I exercise my faith in God and I do like Abraham. I begin to rejoice and give thanks to God because that thing belongs to me. If you need an automobile, you pray. You ask God for it. He said, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. Be sure before you ask it that you're going to use it for the right purpose. Not to consume it on your lust and desires of visiting and vacationing and doing the things that you want to do with it. But be sure you want it for the glory of God and that you want it to help somebody and you want it to take care of your family so that you can live a better life, have better security, be in better condition to live a better life and afford something to help the needy with. And then when you settle that thing and your heart is completely settled over it, you go to God, you tell God about it, you claim it, and then you just go around rejoicing and saying, glory to God, did you know the Lord gave me a nice automobile? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, just telling somebody, that isn't going to bring an automobile. I know that, but telling somebody and believing that will bring an automobile. I told this a number of times when I was out on the field, and I was desperately in need of an automobile, and my wife and I, we couldn't afford anything. I went into the back room and I prayed. When I got through praying, I come back out. I said, Betty, the Lord gave me an automobile. I said, isn't that wonderful? I was convinced that God heard my prayer. The Bible said faith is that thing that you're hoping for. Faith is the substance of things that you're hoping for. Whatever the substance is that your heart desires, if you can gender faith in your heart, then you've got the thing, because faith is the evidence of the thing that's not seen. It's the positive proof of the substance you're desiring. Once faith arises in your heart, it belongs to you. And so then I come out, I was rejoicing over it. I was there at an assembly of God, and an assembly of God pastor was a friend of mine. And I told him that day, I said, brother, I said, I asked the Lord for an automobile yesterday, and he gave it to me. He said, he did. I said, he sure did. He wanted to know where it was. I said, well, what I'm doing, I'm waiting. I said, it'll be here. I said, he said everything was all right. He done give it to me, so it'll be here. Well, he couldn't quite get a hold of that. At that particular time, his faith just wasn't moving in that direction. But did you know it was just a day or two, and here come a retired builder, a man that was in the Christian church, a man that he did not know anything about the kind of religion that we believed in, but this man came to me and he said, preacher, he said, don't you need an automobile? I said, yes, sir, I do. And by the way, I said, the Lord gave me one. He said, he did. I said, yes, he gave me one. And he said, well, he said, that's why I'm over here. He said, I come over here to buy you an automobile. I said, you did? He said, Yes, I did. He said, come and go with me. And we went down and he let me pick me out a nice, beautiful automobile. And he paid cash for it and gave it to me. And I went back to the pastor and I said, Pastor, here's my automobile. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You know why that God did that? Because I believed in God. You know, I've done that many times in my life. I believed God many times for many things in my life. I believed Him for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I believed Him for healing of my body and healing of others. I believed God when I was in such circumstances that there was absolutely no way to get out of it. But God heard me, and God honored my faith, and God brought me out of it. All because I believed God. It hasn't been perhaps just several weeks back. I had closed out a tent meeting over in Macon, Georgia, and God had blessed us and filled up the tent. We'd had a great meeting. Even in the last night of the revival, the tent was filled up and the Spirit of God was mightily moving. But God still told me to close out. I took my little family and we started down to Florida. I was supposed to go down near Bartow to take care of some business. As I got down into the area, the man that I was supposed to negotiate with wasn't there. So then I pulled off, coming up the road. It was about night, and we stopped in our little coach. And Betty said, George, I've got to have a few things from the store. I said, all right, just run on over and get them. And I usually don't go with her to the store. But all of a sudden, I decided I'd go with her and Sue over to the store. I went over there, and when I got over there, I looked and here was a couple of books, one on airplanes and one on boats. And I said, you know, I said, God gave me a boat. I said, I was praying about a boat and I saw where I could use a boat for the glory of God. And I asked the Lord for it and the Lord gave it to me. So I picked me up a boat book and I began to look. And through this boat book, it had hundreds of boats, I guess, in it. But as I began to look through it, I saw the biggest boat in that book. The biggest boat that was in that book, I said, now that's the one I'll take right there. I said, that's the biggest one in here. And it was 93 feet long, which really isn't a boat, it's a ship. I said, this is the one I'll take right here. I said, now first of all, Lord, I don't have any money. And I said, secondarily, I couldn't afford it. If I wanted to buy it, I couldn't afford it. So I'm not planning to buy it. I said, I'm not planning to try to afford it because I can neither afford it nor buy it. But I said, I thank you because you gave it to me and I'm going over here to pick it up. So I went down where the boat was and I told Junior, I said, Junior, I'll tell you what. I said, the Lord gave me that boat and He told me how He gave it to me. So the man said, all right. Said, I'll take $85,000 for it. I looked at it, walked around a little while and I talked to Junior and Junior said, well, what are we going to do? Said, he said $85,000 and you don't have any money? I said, yes, but see, that's not the thing. I said, the Lord gave me the boat. I said, that's what counts. I said, it has nothing to do with the $85,000. I said, I'm trying to figure out how much the Lord wants to pay for the boat. And the Lord put a figure in my mind and I said, Junior, we're going to buy the boat for $35,000. We went back and told the man and the man said, nothing doing. I said, Junior, we're going to buy it for $35,000 and we're going to pay it in 3 installments. He said, you can't buy this boat at all in installments and you can't get it for that kind of price. But we went off and we stayed a little while and Junior, he said to me, he said, look, said you said God gave you the boat. And the man said, no, 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 said he wouldn't even talk to us about it. Said he just pushed us on out saying that he had a number of other people coming in. And at that time, he had to talk to another man about the boat. I said, it doesn't make any difference. Those things don't count. I said, you see, the boat belongs to me. I said, and the Lord said we'd get it in 3 installments, and we'd get it for $35,000. I said, so we must go pick up the boat. He looked at me kind of puzzled-like, and he said, well, he said, you sure God told you that? I said, that's what the Lord told me. He said, well, if God told you that, said, I believe it. I said, let's go get the boat. So we went back over and God gave us the boat. And then they put a challenge before us and said, now in 3 installments, we're going to let you have it. And the man couldn't figure out what he was doing or anything about it. But another man, he just popped up, you know, me being a preacher having no money. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said to Todd, he said, if these people can buy a boat like that, said, do you really believe they can pay for that boat? Todd said, I don't know. He said, well, if they can buy a boat like that, said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Said, I'll give them dollar for dollar in jewels, in certified gems, if they pay for that boat within 2 installments. I prayed about it, not knowing what the Lord wanted to do. And then I told the brethren, I said, the Lord said we can do it. I said, we're going to do it. And we prayed for it in 2 installments. And he had to give us almost $50,000 worth of certified gems with papers that are said by the jewelers to be the best certification and appraisal in all the world. So then today the jewels are over yonder in the vault. We just had closed out the deal, just had ended the move of faith, just had got the jewels and put them in the vault, hurrying to get over here to our revival. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about buying a boat by faith in God. Paid for a lock, stock, and barrel, and got more out of the deal than I put into the deal. The boat plus. You love Jesus? That proves God. Let's just give God a hand, can we? We're planning to use that boat for the poor, the hungry, to put it into the islands, and to take clothes and literature to them that are in need out there. Let's just give God another hand, can we? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's do it all over again. I want to do it too. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said, clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I would that men everywhere lift up her hands, holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. Brother, tonight you can do whatever you want to do, all by faith in God. All you've got to do is believe. And the Bible said, if you believe, God will give you the desires of your heart. And whatever you claim, whatever you ask for, whatever you want, my beloved friend, God will do it. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. This is why I say that this word of God is so great. You have his promise. You are the children of faith. You have the power to believe. Anything that you decree within your heart, it will come to pass. All you've got to do is believe it. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough either. None of us are good enough. That's why Jesus had to die for us. But the Bible says here, Jesus talking to Paul said that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. Hallelujah. Do you feel sanctified tonight? Do you feel sanctified tonight? The Bible said you are sanctified by the faith that is within me, Jesus said. Hallelujah. How have you believed tonight God has made you perfect? The Bible said God hath perfected forever, not from one generation to another, revival to another, but God hath perfected forever. Who hath he perfected forever? Them that are sanctified. Who are the sanctified? The Bible said God has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. He said, Paul, those that are sanctified by faith, which is in me, being shut up under the law, being shut up under the law. I said this the other night. The Jewish people were shut up under the law. Paul was shut up under the law. Unto the faith of Jesus Christ, to that faith which was to be revealed. Not to the faith of Brother Pike, not to the faith of Brother Ed, not to the faith of the great men of God of today, but unto the faith of Jesus Christ. You are sanctified by the faith of Christ. Shut up under the law. Because the faith of Christ in the behalf of sinners had not yet been given. The faith of Jesus Christ had not yet come forth. For Jesus had not yet died for the remission of sin. He had not yet put his faith to the exchangers to God in the behalf of mankind to sanctify them. Shut up under the law until this faith come. Shut up under the law until this faith that was to come. But beloved friend, when Calvary came,
that sanctifying faith of Jesus Christ came. And tonight that faith is here in our behalf. That faith tonight is here in our behalf. That faith tonight is before God every time you pray, every time you waver, every time you stumble, every time you stagger, when you try to do your best and the devil harasses your mind, and when you're cast down and when you can't stand. The Bible said, having done all to stand ye therefore, be strong in the power of my might. Stand in my faith, Jesus said. Shut up unto the law, unto this faith, which afterwards should be revealed. Beloved friend, that faith hath now been revealed. It now stands before God in your behalf. It has sanctified you to the uttermost, that you tonight are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. And the Bible said, because of this, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may receive help in the time of need. Are you sanctified tonight? I am sanctified. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said that we must sanctify ourselves daily. I know that. I must sanctify myself daily. But that sanctification has nothing to do with my salvation, nor my approval in the sight of God unto righteousness. But that sanctification has to do with me putting away the filth of the flesh, that I might have faith in my heart to trust in God's sanctifying faith, that I might be partakers of that great divine benefit. You know, you can put $1 million in the bank for any of you and then come and tell you to write checks on it, but if you don't have enough confidence in what the man is saying, you'll never write the first check. Isn't that right? You may have $1 million in the bank, but if you don't have enough confidence in the man that told you he put $1 million in the bank for you, you'll never write the first check. Therefore, the Bible said, your faith without works is dead. That you must do something, beloved friend. That you must offer some kinds of work. You must offer some kind of efforts. You must put forth something in your own everyday doings to cause your faith to take hold of the faith of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, the faith of Christ Jesus has sanctified us. The faith of Christ Jesus has saved us. The faith of Christ Jesus has perfected us forever. We, without any effort whatsoever on our part, in the sight of God, are perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And the Bible said, he that is the predestinated of God, sanctified by that faith, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. There is not one time in the life of a Christian, never one time from the time that he's born again until the time that God calls him, there is not one time in his life where he ever sins one tiny little sin. There is not one time where the devil ever touches him one iota. There is not one time where he ever has one spot or one wrinkle or one blemish during his entire lifetime. For he that is born of God cannot sin, and he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. In the sanctifying faith, in that God has done all of this, in that God has perfected us forever, in that God has made us righteous, in that God has made us his chosen and his beloved, why then is it, beloved friend, that we are not willing to put forth a little out of our own physical effort, to program our mind, to condition our heart, to convince our heart that we might believe in such a wonderful experience and salvation that's giving us by God? Paul spoke of this faith. He said, and this faith requires no works. Therefore, God has saved us by faith. It requires no works. Then when the other writer, or James and them, spoke of the other faith, that is the faith of mankind, he said this kind of faith must have works. For doing the things that please God, hereby we convince our heart then hath confidence toward God, knowing that God hears us. Then in doing this, we call upon the name of Jesus, and because of that, then we receive the thing that we desire of God, because we know that God hears us. For this is our confidence in God, that if we ask anything in His name, He hears us. And if we know that God hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. How then can we be sure that God hears us? By doing the things that please God, in convincing our heart that God will hear us. You know the secret of Jesus, He said, I do always the things that please the Father. Did you know the secret of Enoch was? The Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. The secret is pleasing God. Are you making an effort to please God? If you are doing your very best, though you may stumble, though you may stagger, though it may seem hard, though it might seem that you're not able to go on with God, I tell you in the name of the Lord tonight, if you're doing your very best with God, you can ask Him anything in His name, and don't doubt, and I challenge you to do it tonight. And my brother, it will come to pass. Decree a thing in your heart, and Jesus will grant it unto you tonight. Whether it be healing, whether it be financial blessings, whether it be safety on the road, whatever you ask in His name, and He will do it. Now listen. The Bible said if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. Isn't that right? The Bible said if we know that He heareth us, then we have the petition that we desire of Him. Is that right? What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do Thy will. To do Thy will. I come in the volume of the book, for it is written of me, O God, I must do Thy will. So then what is the will of God? The volume of the book. What does the book say? I have given you all things that pertain unto life. I have given you all things that pertain unto life. Have you ever sat down to see what all pertains unto life? Like happiness and peace and joy and prosperity and health and blessings and having fellowship with your wife and having fellowship with your husband and having your children in harmony with you and having the good things of God come down from heaven to you. I've given you all things that pertain unto life. I said this the other night. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow. I'm talking about the will of God, the volume of the book. And the Bible said, you shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. Ye shall bring forth your leaves in your season, your fruit in your season. Your leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. I'm talking about God's will, the volume of the book. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Jesus said, if you walk upright before me, you shall lack no good thing. If you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. God said, ask what you will in my name. Decree a thing in your heart. I will give it to you. What is this? Asking according to the will, the volume of the book. What do you desire tonight? What do you want tonight? What would you like to have tonight? Brother, that's what God wants you to do, is ask. He said, it's my will that you ask that you may bear much fruit. For herein am I glorified, that when you ask, you bear much fruit. He said, and this is your fruits, that whatever you ask of God, that you might receive. This is what causes the joy of the Lord. Tonight, wouldn't you like to bear a lot of fruit? I'm always asking God for something. You know what? I love God better than I do all of His gifts. It takes children a little while to learn that they love mother and daddy better than all of their gifts. You know, when a little child's coming up, it says, give me mama, give me daddy. And all daddy and mama means to them is, give me, give me, give me. After a while, that child gets to missing them, and they get to realizing that they love mom and dad more than all of their gifts. Isn't that right? I love Jesus more than all of His gifts. I love God more than all of His gifts. He's more sweeter and more wonderful to me than all of his gifts. That wonderful Christ called the Holy Ghost that's in my heart, the Spirit of Christ Jesus, I love him better than all that he could ever give to me. But I thank God tonight because he blesses me. I thank God tonight because he gives me the desires of my heart. Everywhere I go and all that I do, he makes my cup to run over. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Turn my people from that unbelief, Paul. Turn my people from that human reasoning. Turn them people away from their own human thinking. Tell them not to lean to their own understanding because they're born with the mind of the beast. Tell them to turn to the mind of Christ and believe in God and believe in faith. Tell them not to program their mind with the thought that they're going to die and somebody's going to put them in a hole and throw dirt in their face. But program their mind that they pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation, and that they can have the desires of their heart and live forever. You love Jesus? All the great treasures of wisdom of God, it's hid with him. You can have the wisdom of his, or the riches and treasure of his wisdom, his knowledge, his treasure in understanding. You can have it tonight. But now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even that which is in the heavenly places. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me tonight. I know that you're hot, and I know that you're uncomfortable, and I know some of you are not going to listen much longer. You ought to be willing to listen all night, but I know that some of you are not going to do it. I speak this to your shame. But some people have programmed their minds with a 30-minute popcorn sermon in their churches, and if you don't hit that button just right, they'll start looking at that watch, and they'll get like a worm on a hot rock, and they can't sit still, and they've got everything to do but listen and pay attention, and after a while, they're just like an ill wind blowed by, and like chaff, they flop, and they're gone. But you know what? Paul had some people that listened all night. Isn't that wonderful? That's why they grew in the grace and knowledge of God. And that's why they got so strong. And that's why they were so powerful. They called that Christ to mature on the inside. Oh, my brother, someday you're going to wish that you'd listen. Someday you're going to look back and you're going to say, my God, what did I do? I went after the beggarly elements of this world and I fed my belly to the full, and now God's slaying belly and all. And all of my labors I'm leaving to a fool, and I'm going to a hole in the ground. And all of my passions and my foolishness, I sold my birthright for my passions and for my foolishness, and God's going to put me in a hole in the ground, and the saints of God are going off to live eternally and forever. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Some people have to get home for the late show. Some have to get home for the ball games. Some have to get home for their little knick-knack and supper. But glory to God, I'm glad that I got some of that meat to eat that men know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And the Bible said, everyone that overcometh, I'll give to him to eat of that hidden manna. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. I'm going to say something right here. It's probably going to be a little bit staggering, but that's all right. I'll get a repercussion sometime sooner or later anyway, so I might as well say it. Did you know the Bible said concerning that serpent over there in the garden that God put him on his belly? Are you listening? I said God put him on his belly. And did you know his belly has given him trouble ever since? One of the biggest problems today is belly trouble. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The serpent always has belly trouble. His belly sticks out too far for one thing. He's eating too much. He's on his belly. The Bible said that God put him on his belly, and he's been on his belly ever since. And listen now. And the Bible said all of his labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. And I say this sometimes and it sounds a little comical, but I don't mean it like that. I'm trying to get over a thought. The serpent labors, that is, in that garden, the nearest thing to a man of God, or the nearest thing to the Son of God, Adam, was a human being or a man or a serpent. Is that right? The nearest thing to a Son of God today in this garden of this world is a man, which is a serpent. And he is on his belly, And the Bible said all of his labor is for his belly. And let's check it out and see if the word of God's true. He gets up in the morning and he works 8 hours a day for his belly, so that he can get something to put in his belly, so that his belly will give him some strength, that he might go back and make another $1,000 to buy him a nice automobile, so that he can ride his belly around. And then he makes some more money so he can buy himself a home, to get himself a nice bed so he can rest his belly. So his belly can rest a little while and get up and go back to the hamburger shop and eat some more, and he can take his car and ride his belly around again. And he puts a little money in the bank to make sure that there's no bad feelings concerning his belly when he wants ice cream and Coca-Cola and whatever. And he buys himself a nice air conditioner so he can cool himself, so his belly can feel better, so he'll feel better when he drinks something and put it in his belly. And all of his labor is for his belly, cause his belly craves it of him, and God put him on his belly, and he's been on his belly ever since. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's the old serpent. But there's one thing about it. There's some sons of God in the world, isn't that right? And these sons of God are not interested in their belly. They come out there and said, Jesus said, you better do something about the belly. Jesus said, I got some meat to eat that you don't know nothing about. You can take care of all that by the belly. Let the serpent have that. He didn't say it in those words, but that's the way it went. Isn't that right? Brother, tonight there's some sons of God that can make their belly do without for days and days and days. And that old belly, it'll growl and it'll grumble and it'll say, you're killing me, this 5-day fast, this 10-day fast. You better get some sense, you're beside yourself, you need to see a psychiatrist, put something in that belly. And it'll fuss and it'll argue until you pour something down it. And that old gut coiled up like a snake down in there with its mouth open, it'll just loop down everything you pour in there. And it'll stretch like a rubber bag. Somebody say amen. Guzzle down the beer, pour it in, and the old belly stretches out for some more. Well, I was doing pretty good till I got there, wasn't it? All right. But the Bible does say that all of your labor is for your belly, because your belly craves it of you. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. God put the serpent on his belly. But folks, tonight, let's look unto God. Let's love Jesus. You know it's good to eat and drink. There's nothing better than that. If you eat and drink right and you don't let a spirit get a hold of you, and you eat and drink right and you do the thing that's right and you be reasonable in what you're doing, you can eat and drink and enjoy it, and God will bless you with those wonderful things. But don't ever let a spirit get you to where your belly leads you around all your life and all of your labor is for it. Don't ever do that. Let's do something for Jesus. You want to do something for Jesus? Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus together. I love you tonight. And I appreciate you tonight. This is the last night of the revival here for this period of time. And it takes a couple of weeks to get a revival going. Like I said, unless you come in with 2 or 3 churches backing you up and pouring the people in so it'll look good. People draw people, you know. If you've got a number of churches, they back you up. You got a few thousand people to start with. Well, that draws people because they think something's happening. You take a ball game, football, baseball. That's one of the things that causes them to have so many people. If the people would drop off to where they wasn't about 50 or 75 people out to that big old football field out there, and that basketball and baseball and them race cars, why, people would lose interest in it in a little while. You couldn't even hardly get them out there to a game. I remember years ago when you didn't have this many at a ball game. I mean a big ball game. You didn't have this many. So then people draw people. There's something about it that people, if they crowd around in an area, if they ain't nothing happening, everybody stops to see what's going on. Isn't that right? But wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus could be the central point of attraction? Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody said, well, Jesus is over there. I'm going over there. It don't make no difference to me whether anybody goes or not. If Jesus Christ is over there, to me, that's important. That's better than the president being here. I'm going to go over there because I'm looking for Jesus Christ. You love the Lord. I want you to lift your hands with me again while we sing this little chorus together. We sing that song so often, Sweep Over My Soul. I like that chorus because there's nothing I like better than to get by myself in a secluded place and begin to pray to the Son of God and feel that wonderful loving Spirit as He begins to pour down upon me and as it begins to sweep over me. I'd rather have the fellowship of Jesus tonight and the favor of the Son of God tonight than all of the money in the world. Did you know that? I'd rather have Jesus tonight than all of the prestige, all of the favor, all of the things that man could wish for. I'd rather have Jesus than to have those things. And I tell you the truth from the bottom of my heart. God has withheld nothing good from me. We've got all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about an airplane a few days ago. I thought it'd be nice to have a twin-engine plane. So I went and talked to the Lord about it. And He said, all right, son, you can have it. He said, I'll give it to you. So I'm looking to pick it up. I might pick it up before we get out of Memphis over here. I've been looking at one over here that might be the very one He's given me. I don't know. It might be you tonight. You might have the very one that He sent here for me. But the Lord gave me a nice twin-engine plane, and we're going to pick it up, and we're planning to use it for the glory of God. It's going to be wonderful the way we use it because we're going to use it for His glory. Praise God. But let's lift our hands up tonight, and let's love Jesus tonight. Can we do that? Let's testify of His grace and His power and His benefit tonight. Can we do that, beloved friend? Just lift your hands up in God tonight and let's think about this wonderful word of Jesus, this wonderful word of Christ, and think about who you are tonight. Now, while you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, I want you to do this. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. I want you to examine yourself tonight and see if you got a conviction in the Word of God tonight. See if you've got that conviction in the Word of God. See if you're convicted in some kind of denomination, or if you're convicted in some kind of movement, or if you're convicted in something that you think, or something that you've heard, or something somebody has told you, or if your conviction is in the Word of God tonight. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. I said the other night, the Bible said, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Isn't that right? So tonight, there's many that is leaving the faith. Many shall fall away from the faith, departing from the faith. But I want you to know again, departing from the faith is not departing from some church. It's not departing from some denomination. It's not departing from some conviction, though you might have had it for many years. It is departing from the Word of the living God and not believing what Jesus has to say about it. So tonight, let's examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith, because we're saved by the grace of God through faith that cometh by the hearing of that Word. And there is no God faith outside of that Word, beloved friend. So tonight, if you want salvation and you want to be saved, be sure tonight that you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Be sure that you're believing in the Word of God tonight, and that will bring salvation to your soul. You are a great person tonight. You are a God. Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye are great people tonight. But if you don't use your faith, you're nothing more than a common beast that'll be thrown in a hole in the dirt, thrown in your face. Without God, you're nothing but dust. But with God, you're a great eternal creature, a great eternal God that's made to live throughout eternity. So tonight, as you lift your faith up, tonight as you lift your hearts up, tonight as you lift your hands up, I want you to pray with me for just a minute. Can you do that? Can you close your eyes now? Lift your faith up and your hands up with me tonight. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. Lift up holy hands tonight. And let's call upon the name of the Son of God tonight. And let's ask the Son of God to deliver us tonight and bless us tonight and heal us tonight and be with us tonight. And I believe God will do something for us. Can we do that? Father of heaven, move by your Spirit tonight. Let the great, wonderful power of God be here. I feel the quickening of the Holy Spirit, Father. I feel the anointing breaking the yoke. And it's by your might and by your glory and by your righteousness that I feel the deliverance of Christ here tonight. I pray that you'd heal and save in Jesus' wonderful name. While they're playing on the organ and the instruments tonight, I want them to play something tonight on the instruments. And I want you to come tonight to the altar. I want you to step out tonight and give your heart to God. And if you've never made that commitment to God, I want you to make it tonight. I want you to come here tonight. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And brothers and sisters, that great day is at hand. All right. While we sing this little chorus together, I want you to come. Can you do it tonight? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. Come on, folks. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. Come on. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I want you to come tonight. Come on up to the altar tonight. I want you to come up here tonight. Come to God tonight. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight. You love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Paul, get this young man that needs some clothes on and pray with him. Lead him out there with some brethren. Pray with him. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight. I want you to come to the altar tonight. You love Jesus tonight. I want you to come to the altar tonight. Will you come to the altar? Hallelujah. Take the young fellow and go pray with him there, Bill. You brethren, get together with him and pray with him. Talk to him about Jesus. Come on, let's come to the altar tonight, folks. Will you? Come on to the altar tonight. Let's call on the name of Jesus. The Lord's wonderful, isn't he? God's good tonight. If you'll come and call on him tonight, God will do something for you. God will do something for you tonight. Tonight is the last night of this meeting. And the devil is trying his very best to keep us from having the victory. But glory to God, we've got the victory tonight. We've got power over Satan tonight. And the Bible said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world tonight. You've got Christ in your heart. You've got the power of God in your heart. You've got the ability to believe in your heart tonight. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world tonight, my beloved friend. Come to Jesus tonight. Lift up your hands and love Jesus tonight. And come to Jesus tonight as we pray with you, as we talk with you, as we tell you about the lovely things of Jesus. And tonight we're going to lay hands on the sick. If you need healing tonight, we're going to ask you to come up here on the platform right here. And we're going to pray for you. For the last two nights, we've laid hands on the people. And tonight is the last night of the meeting, and we're going to lay hands on you tonight. But I want you to come up here tonight and gather around the altar and let God do something for you. I want you to come up here and lift your hands with us tonight. And if you've never found salvation, I want you to give your heart to God tonight. And I want you to find salvation. You love Jesus tonight? You love Jesus tonight? If you love Jesus, say amen. If you love Jesus, say amen tonight. Hallelujah. If you love Jesus, let's praise the Lord tonight. Can we do that? Hallelujah. What a wonderful experience. What a wonderful experience. I want you to just lift your hands and close your eyes. Everybody under the tent, everybody around the tent tonight, I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to lift your hearts up to God. I want you to lift your faith up tonight. I want you to call upon the name of Jesus. Did you know that we have the power to bless you tonight? Did you know that we have the power to curse you tonight? And the Bible said, whosoever sins we remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins we retain shall be retained. And we have the power to leave the blessing upon you tonight. We have a power to leave a curse upon you tonight. And I'd like to leave a blessing upon you tonight. But the man of God cannot leave a blessing upon those that are rebellious. The man of God cannot leave a blessing upon those who are contrary. The man of God cannot leave a blessing upon those who are unbelievers. But God will give a blessing to them tonight that will believe and that will honor, that will reverence, that will obey, that will look toward His kingdom tonight and have the fear of God. The Bible said, in whom to and what man to whom shall I look? It is the one that trembleth at my word. He that trembleth at my word, I will have respect unto him. He that trembleth at my word, he that hath faith in my word, he that hath confidence in my word, if you believe in my word, he said to him, I will look if you fear and tremble at my word. Tonight it's not me that speaketh. The Bible said it shall not be you that speaketh, but the heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. Let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple tonight. And it is God that's desiring to speak to you tonight. And God desiring to help you tonight. And God desiring to break the yoke tonight. And God's wanting to do something for you as an individual tonight. You love Jesus? Lift your hands up and let's love him. Tonight, while these hands are lifted up, oh, God's moving by Spirit. I'm going to pray for you. Those that want to be prayed for, hands laid on you, come right up here, will you? Step right here on the platform. Those that want to be prayed for, hands laid on you, come right up here. I know it's hot tonight. Today is Father's Day, they tell me. I don't know. I can't ever tell when it comes or goes. And I believe it's the summer solstice. It's the longest day, I believe, in the year. And I believe they say it's the hottest day that they've had in this area at any time. So I know it's hot tonight. But folks, you know, when we go down into South America and into Central America and we have crusades and we preach to people there, it's much, much hotter than it is here. It's much hotter than it is here. We've been into Haiti's where the weather is fierce and have multiplied hundreds of people that would come. And we preach the gospel to them, and it's much hotter in some of those places than it is here. So tonight, let's just lift our hands and heart to God. Let's take just a few more minutes for God. Let's reverence God just a few more minutes. And then the revival will be gone, and then the tent will be gone. And those that have received the blessing will have the blessing. And those like Jacob that received the blessing will have the blessing. And those like Esau that sold the blessing, their birthright for a morsel of bread, will have the world, and the tent will be gone, and all together we'll wait for the judgment until that great day when God will pull those apart from the righteous, those that have sold their birthright, and when God will say to those that are righteous, enter into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, and now God will make you ruler over many. So tonight, let's just take a few more moments.
To supply, just reach out and touch the Lord as He has the mind.
Come on, minister brethren. I want my minister brethren to come and pray with me. You that believe God tonight, you that believe God, if you're a real minister of God and you're not playing games, you're trying to live for God and do the best you can, that's all God asks is that you do the best you can. Tonight I'd like to have you to pray with me. We're going to pray for these people. You know, here's Jimmy. I just recognized him as I stand here. Jim,
a former boxer, was out in the world boxing, was the champion in the areas of Florida. Jimmy had his mind on the world and had his mind on boxing. But I remember we went down into Miami, was preaching there under a tent. And there Jimmy was over here at a service station doing something. And he heard us preaching way over here. And he came over. We prayed for him and laid hands on him. He left the boxing game. He turned aside from it. And he's been following Jesus ever since. And he's been trying to testify for Jesus. We had a boxer friend of ours to come through not too long ago. One of the great men of the past. And he had left the boxing game and turned to Jesus. A wrestler, a great wrestler friend of ours that had left the wrestling game and turned to Jesus. People all over the world, they're leaving the world and they're turning to Jesus. And they're finding greater pleasure in the things of God. Great athletes, great sportsmen, great artists, great stars are turning away from the world and they're following Jesus. Great dignitaries are leaving their offices and they're following Jesus because they find greater reward in following the Son of God than they do in the world. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I lay hands upon Jimmy and I ask you to strengthen Jimmy all over again. And oh, may the great, wonderful Spirit of God be upon him tonight. May he receive healing and deliverance tonight. May he receive an inspiration. Lord, I've not seen Jimmy in a good long while. But Father, I'm sure, Father, that he still loves you and he's still walking with you. And I ask you to go with him, Father, and touch him in the name of the Son of God. Father, touch this man tonight in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God be upon him and may he receive that blessing. Touch these tonight as I pray, Father, in the name of the Son of God. May thy Spirit be here, Father, and may you heal and may you save and may you deliver. Touch this little one tonight. Touch this body tonight. May it be filled with the power of God and the blessings of God. Anoint tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint, I feel your anointing. I feel your Spirit. I feel your deliverance tonight. Heal here from heaven in the name of the Son of God tonight. Heal and deliver. Touch these little ones in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. As I lay hands upon them in Jesus' mighty name tonight. Touch them, Heavenly Father. May their little hearts be blessed. Touch this brother Ed tonight. May the power of God be here. Father, with the moving of the Spirit tonight, I feel healing. I feel deliverance. I feel salvation in Jesus' mighty name tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, touch these little ones in the name of Jesus. Touch the sister tonight in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight. May thy Spirit be with her. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yea, I say unto thee that if thou canst lift up thine head in faith tonight, if thou canst believe tonight, yea, the dark shadows of night will pass away, and the Lord thy God shall be a light unto thee. Yea, and it shall be a bright pathway, and joy and jubilance shall fill thine heart. For yea, I say unto thee, I am the Lord thy God that blesseth thee, that leadeth thee, and guideth thee. And though there might be heavy days of weariness, and though you may feel worn and tired, yea, I am able to give strength. Yea, am I not able to lift thee up and to plant thy feet upon the solid rock of the foundation that cannot be shaken? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, touch these little ones, my Father. Lord, touch this brother in the name of the Son of God tonight. May thy spirit be healed. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight. Touch this vessel. Oh God, in Jesus' name. If thou canst believe in the Lord thy God and trust Him, the Lord shall lighten thy pathway. The Lord also shall walk with thee. And if thou draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto thee. And if thou shalt learn to trust me, I shall be a light unto thy pathway. And it shall be a wonderful thing that I shall do for thee. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this vessel. May your spirit be upon this person tonight, Lord, to open up faith. Move fear and complex and bewilderment in Jesus' name. Touch these tonight in the name of the Lord. Touch these little ones tonight in Jesus' name. May the great spirit of the living God be here as I feel your presence. Touch my sister in the name of the Son of God tonight. And yea, I say unto thee, thy respect for the Lord doth make him to honor thee. Yea, and the Lord shall smile upon thee, because thou dost highly respect the Lord, and the Lord shall bless thee. Yea, and in the day to come thou shalt rejoice with great joy. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch my brother tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon him. Touch him, Father, and anoint him, God, and let him do mighty things for thee in the wonderful name of the Son of God. May thy spirit flood the soul tonight. Oh, God, help him to believe. Yea, if thou canst believe, the Lord thy God will bless thee also. The Lord thy God shall establish the way of thy going. Thou desirest great things of the Lord. Yea, and I say unto thee, if thou canst believe and doubt not, thou shalt have them. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight, touch this little one, my Father. Touch him in Jesus' name. Touch this person tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of God be upon this person tonight. Touch these little ones in Jesus' name tonight as I lay hands upon these little ones. Father, touch this person tonight. May the great Spirit of God be with them. May they be filled with your blessings and with your glory. Touch this little one tonight in Jesus' name. Touch these people, my Father. Let them feel the great Spirit of the Son of God as you move by your power in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Have your way, Lord. Touch this sister tonight. May your spirit be here, oh God, and may you move by your power. In Oramandari Andarabo Shidabari Andaramo Sandarama Sandaramastaya. Andri Andaramo Sandaramanyanabosai. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Undaramo Shita Ramandaramasi Andaramosaya. Yea, and I say unto thee that thou canst believe. Yea, thou canst believe. Yea, and if thou shalt offer thy faith unto God, thy day shall change, and sunshine shall break forth upon thy dwelling, and light shall be thy pathway, and there shall be a lamp unto thy feet. Yea, and thou shalt rejoice in the Spirit of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, bless this little lady. Touch her in Jesus' name. In your name tonight, move by your spirit, my Father. Oh God, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, touch this vessel in Jesus' name. Touch this vessel in the name of the Son of God tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord be here tonight. May thy power come down from heaven in Jesus' name. Father, as I lay hands upon this sister tonight, may the Spirit of God be upon her to heal, to save, to forgive, to guide, to teach. Oh, hallelujah.
Yea, I say unto thee, thou shalt be able to find thy way. Yea, for the Lord shall show thee. Yea, and be thou not troubled. Be thou not troubled, for I am thy rock and thy staff. I am thy convenience and thy comfort. Yea, and I look upon thee. I am with thee. I am with thee. Hallelujah. Praise God in Jesus' name. Touch this little one. Touch this person in the name of the Lord tonight. May the great Spirit of God rest upon him. Touch him, Father, and bless him in the name of the Lord tonight. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, touch this vessel, O God. May the great Spirit of God be upon her in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch these little ones to suffer the little children to come unto you and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom. Father, touch this vessel tonight. May the Spirit of God rest upon this person, and may they be blessed tonight. Yea, in Jesus' name. Father, bless this person. You said whoever we bless would be blessed, and we bless this person in the name of the Lord tonight. Father, this person desires to walk with you, and so does the companion, Father. Yea, and that one that walks by her side. Lord God, bless him. Bless him. Let them unite together, for you've got a work for them to do. Yea, and your Spirit, your anointing shall rest upon them. Yea, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Touch this little one tonight. Touch this sister tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon this sister in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God in Jesus' name. Come right over here, my brother. Father, in Jesus' name, I lay hands upon my brother. I pray that you will bless him. I pray that you will heal him. I pray that you will deliver him. Oh, God, in that great name. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands up tonight and love the Lord? Can you? God's good, isn't he? Let's give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Can you do that? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up your voices to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.